Father, today as we eat of your word and digest its truth, I'm asking that you draw back the veil and reveal more and more and more of the glory and the beauty of Jesus. I thank you that the truth is flowing like a river, freeing people's minds from the traditions of men, and I believe enabling them to soar to new heights of revelation. Truth always sets us free. Truth always sets us free. So Holy Spirit, open the scriptures to us. And if you're ready to receive, would you clap your hands and give God the best praise you've given him today? Thank you, Jesus. What's up, family? So glad you're here today for this 11 o'clock worship experience, one of many today at many locations. But I believe you're in the right place at the right time. So glad you're here. And this weekend, I'm finishing the series called Ridiculousness. We've been looking at absurd beliefs that are crippling, even paralyzing you, the church. And so in this series, I've been putting the microscope on some of the terminology that we use, because I am convinced that some of the subtle nuances in what people have told us have misled us. Because how many of you know people have told us a whole lot of stuff? We've been told a lot of stuff about God, and we have been told a lot of stuff about ourselves. The fact of the matter is, we've been told about death rather than life. We have been told about living from rules rather than living out of relationship. We have been told what's wrong with us rather than what is right with us. We have been told who we were in Adam rather than who we are in Christ Jesus. We have been told about the ministry of condemnation rather than the ministry of affirmation. We have been told about rewards rather than inheritance. We have been told about what we must do rather than what is already done in Christ Jesus. We have been told about demands rather than supply. And if anybody's thankful for Jesus, you ought to clap your hands and give him praise right now. And at least 200 of you say, thank you, Jesus. But how many of you know words matter? The words we use to describe something, I think, are very important. And sometimes they subliminally communicate ideas to us. The fact is that stick in our minds, whether they are true or not. And so the use of fuzzy words and fuzzy phrases results in fuzzy thinking, which leads to misdirected perceptions. So during this series, here's what I've been doing. It's real simple. I've been trying to clear up the fuzziness by calling out these absurd beliefs to make the point that there has been a widespread delusion of truth. And when it comes to the gospel, I have told you every week that diluted truth is polluted truth, and polluted truth is no gospel at all. And I'll tell you, church, too much is at stake to risk faulty communication about the truth. And so if you've missed any of this series, please go to calvarychurch.cc, or I hope every one of you are downloading the new app. It's being updated every day. But our last absurd belief that I want to look at in this series is a good one. It's the belief that you must grow in holiness. You must grow more and more and more in holiness. That's where some of us say, OMG, what could possibly be wrong with that? Growing in holiness. So I want to talk about it. I thought about an old story about a group of blind men who touch an elephant because they want to learn what it's like. And so one man touches the leg and he concludes elephants are like a tree trunk. Well, oh no, says the man touching the ear. He says elephants are like a giant fan. No, you're both wrong. says the man touching the tail, elephants are like a rope. Now, I tell you this story because I think what's true of elephants might also be true of holiness. It's like we have a bit of an idea, and from this bit, we have formed a composite picture. So you'll hear people in church say it's like this. No, it's like that. We are like blind men feeling our way around something that is far bigger than we can even imagine. Because believe it or not, church, holiness is far better than I think we have been told. And just as elephants are more interesting than tree trunks, fans, and rope, can I tell you today that true holiness, when you see holiness through the lens of the new covenant, it will blow your mind. So how do we become holy? Okay, how many of you want the truth? Somebody say yes. No, I mean for real. How many of you want the truth? Say yes. Okay, because listen to me. Tradition and truth aren't always the same things. Tradition never outranks truth. Just because a belief is old doesn't mean it's true. So let's see what the gospel says. I want you to wash your imagination today and consider three gospel truths about holiness. Number one, I want you to write this down or type it in your app right now under notes. Here it is. We don't become holy by what we do. Do. I got to talk about this. Because the way that a person is made holy has been one of the most, I think, hotly debated issues in the church world for many, many years. And some of us, you know, we grew up in what's called holiness, right? Entire denominations have been formed over differences on this matter right here. And the interesting but sad thing about it is this. These differences among people on this subject generally seem to arise from looking at the question from the wrong angle from the very start. How do we become holy? Well, you ask the question, how do we become holy? And you're likely to get many, many answers, but the answers will most likely always have one thing in common, and they will always speak to the issue of what a person must do. And here are a few, I think, misleading and useless answers. Well, some people think we need to, and by the way, all of these things are good. They think we need to read our Bible. Again, that's good. They think we need to develop a stronger prayer life if we're going to become holy. Again, that's good. We've got to fast more. That's good. Others think it's giving up bad habits. That's what it is. I got a bunch of habits I got to deal with. If I can just give up some bad habits, then I'll be holy. And we believe it'll just really help, you know. Or maybe I'll be holy with some sin avoidance or moral perfection, just working to moral perfection. Well, there are many different answers people offer, and many of their answers, again, they're good things, but they all take the same approach. As with all legalistic views, it's all about what you must do. And as you've learned in this series, and how many of you are glad today, that grace does not run on that track. Come on, grace is about not what you do, but what Christ has already done. And remember, grace points to Him, not us. It declares that whatever good may come to us is all because of His goodness, not because of anything we do or don't do. It gives Him all the credit and us none. So what does it actually mean to be holy? Let's talk about that. I want you to write it down on your notes. The definition of the word holy is this. Are you ready? To be set apart by God. And the idea is that the thing made holy has been set aside, right, from common use and is now reserved for a particular purpose by God. I would even go as far to say this, that holiness means wholeness, that Jesus came to make broken people whole. And if you're thankful for that, say yes. Believer, everything I'm telling you right now describes you. Believer, how many of you are believers? Somebody talk, say yes. Okay, your Father has set you apart for Himself and for His own purpose. See, it's not something you've done that has caused it, but it is an act of grace that He's done in your life. And now watch, just like everything else, you receive it by faith. Wow. See, you don't get saved by God's grace and then keep Him pleased by your holiness. No, faith pleases Him. You need to begin to believe some things about your holiness. See, the reality is that you don't become more and more holy by what you do. And watch this, you can't become more and more holy than you already are right now in Christ Jesus. You have been set apart, and it isn't possible for you to be more and more and more set apart than you already are. Listen, you are not progressively set apart. Just like you aren't progressively married. You are either married or you are not married. There is no in between. Are y'all getting this? I want to talk to you in betweeners out there. You are whole. You are complete. And so the idea that you can grow in holiness, I think it's wrong on a number of grounds, not the least because it fails to recognize what? The finished work of Christ on the cross. And the Bible teaches us that in Christ we have been given holiness. Holiness is a grace gift that we receive by faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know and understand that you are the temple of God? Lift up your hands, every one of you. Say, I am. Y'all talk out loud. Say, I am the temple of God. And then it says this, that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, for the temple of God is holy. That is what you are. Present tense. Lift up your hands. Say it out loud, believer. Say, in Christ, I am holy. Say it again. In Christ, I am set apart. Now, if you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. See, notice you don't grow into holiness and you don't gradually become holy. Holiness comes to you in the person of Jesus. Here's a powerful verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this. Look at this. Christ has become for us our holiness. Jesus is your holiness. Your holiness is Jesus. So guess what? When you received Him, you received what? Okay, y'all are smart. You don't fight for holiness. Oh, there is a fight. You want to know what the fight is now? The fight is now to trust that it's true. And I'll tell you this today, that God is relentlessly fighting for you to believe the truth that you are already holy in Christ. Oh, believe it, church, because I'm going to tell you, when I talk like this, some of you are struggling. I'm looking at you. I can see your face. You're struggling, and I'm going to tell you why. Most struggle to believe they're holy because they don't always feel holy. Now I'm going to mess with you. You struggle to believe it because you don't always act holy. And we need to know that truth is not determined by how we feel or how we behave. The Bible says that truth is based on what God already believes true concerning us in Christ Jesus. And so every time we gather, do you know what's happening? That's why you ought to be the first one kicking doors open to get into a place to hear the gospel like this. And I'll tell you why. Because when we gather, the Holy Spirit is inviting us to base our beliefs on what God already has done for us. He's asking us in these moments to begin to rethink, to repent, to rethink, to repent how we see ourselves now in the light of how He sees us. Do you know what my prayer is for you? That you would begin to see yourself the way God sees you.
you, that you would begin to believe about yourself what God believes true about you. Are y'all getting this today? You may not always feel holy, act holy, but that doesn't change the reality of who you are. Your new identity now is determined by what? Not what you do, but by what Christ has done. So your feelings and actions now have nothing to do with the objective reality that you have been made holy. And can I tell you, church, that your feelings and actions now need to start lining up with who you already are. And by the way, let me talk about maturity real quick, because for some of us, it's time to grow up. God bless you today. You want to know a simple definition of maturity? I jotted it down this week, and I think you need to grab hold of it. A simple definition of maturity is this: living beyond your feelings. Living beyond your feelings. Because you feel all kind of ways. It's time to give. I don't feel like it. Grow up. Live beyond your feelings. It's time to forgive. Well, I don't feel like it. Grow up. Let your feelings begin to line up with your new identity. Because the fact is, if you don't see your lifestyle change, see, some of you say, I just don't see my lifestyle change. Well, let me tell you something. You got to begin to apply and appropriate the truth of the holiness that is yours in Christ Jesus. And that's when you are going to see real transformation take place. How many of you want to see real transformation in your attitude and in your actions? Okay. Well, look what the Bible says in Philemon 1:6. Okay, you want to see your faith go to work? Somebody say yes. Okay, look at this. Your faith becomes effectual, or goes to work. That's what it means. Your faith goes to work when? By acknowledging every good thing that's already in you in Christ Jesus. And see, I'll tell you right now, church, I can hear it. I can hear it right now. When you talk about stuff like this, I'm going to tell you, it makes people angry. And you'll hear people say stuff like this, but Pastor Ben, you say we don't become holy by what we do, so then does what we do matter? Does living under grace mean that there are no consequences to our attitudes, our sinful attitudes and actions? Absolutely not. There are consequences to your sinful attitudes and actions. As a matter of fact, there's something called sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. And every day you have a choice. I'm so tired of the church blaming the devil for everything. You have a choice. Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh, not the spirit, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Wow. Let me make it as clear as possible. You reap what you sow. And sometimes there are inescapable earthly consequences. And the truth is, I'll say this, some of life's choices have irreversible consequences. You may be here today about to make that choice. And for your sake, don't take that fatal step. As a matter of fact, today my message to you is repent. Which means what? Turn around. Turn around. Change your mind. Change your mind. You can't walk. Listen, You want good results in your life? You can't walk in the flesh and expect good results. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can today. You can't sow to the flesh and expect a harvest of peace and joy. That's not how you're designed to function. If you're going to find real peace, real joy, it says you sow to the Spirit because you're designed to look to the Spirit, to depend on the Spirit, to experience fulfillment in your life. And when Paul says this, and I love it, when he says not to lose heart in doing good, he's speaking of the good that comes from God. That's a good that naturally flows from your new life in the Spirit. So making that choice gonna pay off. That's when you find contentment. That's when you find fulfillment. And those around you are gonna be built up, and those around you are gonna be edified. Why? Because the Spirit's fruit, love, joy, peace, is being expressed through you. It's flowing in and through you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living, life-giving water. As a matter of fact, everybody say it out loud. Say, let it flow. This week, what are you going to do? This week at home, what are you going to do? On the job, you're going, what? Okay. But did you know you can put a kink in the flow? Because the Bible talks about two things that I don't have time to get into today. I'm going to come back maybe. Let's do Wednesday. Watch this. The Bible talks about in Ephesians and in 1 Thessalonians. Watch this. Did you know you can quench the Spirit or you can grieve the Spirit? And I'm talking about you, believer. Yeah, we live under grace, and thank God we are holy. How many of you glad you are children of God? How many of you glad God will never leave you? How many glad nothing can separate you from His love? But does this mean that our choices carry no earthly consequences? Of course not. I'm going to teach you about that. How are you quenching? See, some of you are dealing with stuff because you've quenched the Spirit's flow. You have grieved the Holy Spirit when you don't allow Him to be expressed, and we'll experience all kinds of needless turmoil in every area of our life if we sow to the flesh rather than to the Spirit. Because, church, I don't know how clear I need to make it. There is no such thing as simple sin. And sin has a payoff. You better hear me. Some of you blaming God are saying God's trying to punish me or teach me a lesson. No, He don't have to do that. Sin already has a payoff. The Bible says the wages of sin, not the wages of God. Sin's got enough consequence on its own. But you got a good Father that says in the middle of all of it, I want to help you. What was meant for evil, I can turn it for good. God, our good Father, He longs. As a matter of fact, may you hear it today. Hear your Father say, I long for you to avoid any unnecessary consequences, and I want you to enjoy expressions of Jesus flowing in and through you every day, everywhere. Say it out loud. Say, let it flow. Are y'all getting it? Say yes. Okay, number two, write it down quick. We have been made holy by what Christ has already done. I've never seen this before. I was studying this week. I've never seen this before. Jesus' prayer. He said this in John 17:19. He said, and now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will be made holy. Wow. See, many of us have believed that our holiness is based on our dedication, but in reality, it has everything to do with Jesus' dedication. And if you think holiness has to do with your dedication, I encourage you to take a look at the New Testament church in a place called Corinth, a church full of carnal, charismatic people. And to say that these people misbehaved is an understatement, because you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and you find out that in the church, I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about them out there, I'm talking about us in here, you had divisions, you had drunkenness, you had jealousy, you had sexual immorality. As a matter of fact, you read 1, 2 Corinthians and you find out that there are losers in the church, addicts, abusers, embezzlers, gamblers, gossips, gluttons, liars, crooks, swindlers, spammers, scammers, bad dads, frazzled moms, wayward daughters, prodigal sons, and that was just the staff. Glory to God.
And look at what the Apostle Paul wrote to this church. It'd be like he knows all this is going on, and he sits down and writes an email to the church. It's like if I sat down and wrote Calvary Church a letter, and look what he says in 1 Corinthians 1. He doesn't open up his letter by saying, "Dear dirty people."
Don't that sound like most preaching? Now look what he said. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified. You know what that means? Set apart or made holy in Christ, who are selected and called as saints, meaning you are God's people. I know there's some feelings, and I know there are some actions, there are some attitudes and some actions going on in the church, but I've got to remind you of who you truly are, because Paul said the Corinthians were sanctified or set apart or made holy, and he knew about their behavior, and he even addressed it later on in the letter, which lets me know, watch this, that it ain't wrong to address issues. Sweep them under the rug, but address them. But we start with a revelation of identity. Why? Because behavior always flows from identity. And Paul knew something that many of you seem to forget. Lower floor, upper tiers, you better hear me. It's this truth right here. Our behavior does not determine who we are, whether good or bad. These Corinthians were saints regardless of their behavior. They were saints, even though I would say they were saints gone wild. saints behaving badly, right? Their holiness had anything to do what they did or didn't do. As a matter of fact, Paul reminded them later. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. I'm getting there. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us. Look at what he became. Wisdom from God. Here it is again. Revealing his plan of salvation. And righteousness, making us acceptable to God. And sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart for God. And redemption, providing a ransom for the penalty of sin. See, Paul says that it was God's doing that they were in Christ, and that Christ is their sanctification or their holiness. Again, we see that the Corinthians were already holy in God's sight, and now it's time for their feelings and actions to start lining up with what's true about them. That's growing up. And the New Testament scriptures are so clear about this, because you look at Hebrews. Look at this. Hebrews 10:10 says, and in accordance with his will, the will of God, we who believe in the gospel. How many of you are believers? Wave at me right now. Come on, wave your hands in the air. Wave them like you just do care. Look at this. Those who believe have been sanctified. That is, set apart as holy for God and his purposes, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is by Christ's doing. It is by Christ, his work, that we have been made holy. And I don't want to bother anybody, la-di-da-di or anybody, but if you're thankful for Jesus, clap your hands and give God praise right now. Somebody holler, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's talk just for a minute. Give me 5 minutes. I want to talk about growth, because some of us say, well, I want to know how I got to grow. Okay, here it is. Are you ready? Say yes. We grow in the expression of holiness, but we don't become more and more holy. Okay, there is a difference between our practice and our position. In other words, we grow more and more in our practice of holiness, but positionally in Christ, we are holy. So what about places in the Bible where the scripture seems to teach you better be holy, or you better pursue holiness, or you better seek holiness. I mean, fear mongers, they love to use scriptures like this to try to unsettle the secure and condemn the guiltless. And they'll pull scriptures. Let me just pull one out of Hebrews 12:14, and they'll rip it out of context, and they'll say, continually pursue sanctification or holiness, without which no one will ever see the Lord. We're holiness. We're holiness. What does that verse mean? Pursue holiness. Well, the answer is, how do you define pursue? Because if you define pursuing sanctification as getting better and better at keeping rules, then you've missed it. You find yourself right back in legalism. We've already seen that keeping rules isn't holiness. Watch the simple definition. Here it is. To continually pursue holiness means this: that we act diligently to agree with God concerning what He's already said about us, and we act like it's true, watch, because it is. We act like it's true because it is true. You have Jesus. Y'all raised your hand and called yourself a believer, right? Okay, raise your hand. Do you have Jesus? Then guess what you have? If you have Jesus, guess what you have? So we're pursuing sanctification or holiness when we're living out of the reality of Christ's indwelling life. We grow in the expression of holiness in our thoughts, in our actions, and we don't become more and more holy. You are holy. That's what you are. Now be holy. It doesn't say become holy. It says be holy. Be what you are. How many of you know you are, this is not a trick, but how many of you know you are a human being? Why did you just look at the person next to you and say, am I? Is he right? I mean, am I? Okay, you don't become any more human than you already are. Are y'all getting this? So be, you're called a human being, not a human doing. You don't become any more than what you already are. So anytime you see this exhortation to live holy in the New Testament, you know what that actually is? That's actually an advertisement for the abundant life that's already yours in Christ. And so if you believe that absurd belief that I got to become more holy, I got to become more holy, well, there's going to be no other option than what? Than legalism, what you do in order to make that happen. But you believe the truth of the new covenant and that you've already been made holy, and you're going to find yourself becoming, watch, more and more and more motivated to live that lifestyle now based on that truth. I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorites, once said. He said this: holiness is not something we're called upon to do in order that we may become something. It's something we do because of who we already are. In other words, watch this. We don't do to become holy. We do because we are holy. Okay, are y'all getting this? Is this too much for you today? Okay, watch. In other words, I don't pray to become holy. I pray because I am holy. Watch. I don't love, forgive, give to become holy. Watch. I love, forgive, give. Don't miss this. Because I am holy. I'm whole. I'm complete. I've been set apart. You got to begin to grab hold of this, church. I'm telling you. And yeah, you're going to find yourself, when you believe this, behaving more and more holy as you grow in grace and as you grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is and who we are in Him. And I want to help you. Bring my friend out here real quick. I want to help y'all see this, because some of y'all struggling with this real quick. Bring my friend out here real quick. Come on. Thanks, Mom. Come on. Bring my friend Royal out here. He's eating crackers. Look at this. Yeah. People. There you go. I brought my friend out here. I just kind of want to explain this, because this is really a picture of what a whole lot of the church looks like. I want to explain it. Now that we're in Christ, we have to learn how to walk in our new identity. And so the wrong way to approach this is to think of yourself as this flawed sinner trying to become more holy. Well, that's not who you are, and that's not how it works. Instead, I want some of you to begin to see it like this. I want to help you today. See yourself like a toddler learning to walk, because the reality is this precious baby already has everything in him and lacks nothing. A little human who's not becoming more human, already been given everything. Now watch, this baby now is just growing up in what he already is. Why do I say this? Because just as I would not spank or whip or beat this baby, this toddler, if he fell down and stumbled, but a good father comes alongside and says, no, you better get back up again, because you got everything you need to be who you already are. That's what the Bible says, that you lack nothing. You have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. Now watch, you get to work out what's already been worked in. If y'all are getting this, shout right now and give God praise. Now I gotta talk to some of y'all real quick. Can I preach with you? Come on. I gotta talk to you real quick. As a matter of fact, every one of you, lower floor, upper tier, Roy, you're gonna preach with me, stay with me. Every one of you, lift up your hands. I wanna declare over you right now some things. Baby, I'm speaking over you, and baby, I'm speaking over you too. It's time for you to renew your mind from old ways of thinking and acting and start lining up with who you truly are in Christ Jesus. Stop running here and there and everywhere trying to possess what you already got. Stop trying to strive to become what you already are. Stop it. Stop seeking to find what you already possess. Stop trying to measure up when you already do. Stop trying to reaccomplish what Jesus has already accomplished for you. Stop trying to finish it when Jesus said, it is finished. You are holy. As a matter of fact, take your hand, set it on your belly, and remind yourself, you are holy. If you believe it, shout right now and give God praise. Oh! And you know what I love? I kind of see the church like this, that we get to put people in a place to walk with them and remind them of who they are. Because I came to this verse of scripture in Proverbs 24 and felt like I had to declare it over somebody today. It says, the righteous may stumble and fall 7 times, but he gets back up over and over and over and over and over again. If you fall down, if you stumble, hear the gospel today and be reminded in Christ Jesus you can get back up. If you believe it, shout right now. Shout if you believe it right now. High five 3 people and tell them, I'm holy in Jesus' name. High five 3 more people and tell them, I'm holy in Jesus' name. I'm set apart. I'm whole. I'm complete. I want to remind you, because the devil's trying to convince you that you're not who you are, but I got to remind somebody today of who you truly are. If you believe it, shout right now. Why are you stopping? Holy people, open up your mouth. and give God praise like you really believe. You may have fallen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, but hear the Father say today, get back up again, get back up again, get back up again, get back up again, and keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move your feet like you're getting back up again today. Move your feet. Matter of fact, grab somebody by the hand. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them just a little bit. And remind them, you got to get back up again. I know the marriage failed, but get back up again. I know the business failed, but get back up again. I know you feel like you're going to lose your mind, but get back up again. I know you're wrestling, but get back up again. Get up again. Get up again. Upper tier, get up again. Hallelujah. My friend right there. Yeah, you, come here. Come here, you. Yeah, you, don't act like you. Don't act like, yeah, you. If I point, not you. You. Ooh, I hear the Spirit of God say, man, today is your day. The Spirit of God wanted me to remind you today when you walk out, you better feel it. You up again, and you're stepping into everything that God said in your. If you believe it, lift up your hands. Every one of you, shout right now and give God praise. Hallelujah. Remind two people, get back up again. There's an anointing on it right now. There's an anointing on it right now. There's an anointing on it right now. I feel a comeback even before we step into 2020. I hear the Spirit of God say, this house is rising up with a comeback anointing to take back everything the devil tried to steal from us last year. If you believe it, shout right now. Hallelujah. For the next 15 seconds, lift up your hands. Don't ask for anything. Just thank Him. It's already done right now. Bring me those envelopes. Lift up your hands and thank Him right now. There's an anointing. Lift it up. Lower floor. Upper tier. Open up your mouth. Don't ask Him for anything. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Don't do it because you feel like it. Do it by faith because you know it's already done. Hallelujah. Thank Him that you're getting back up again. Thank Him that it's only good works flowing from you. Thank Him for the flow in Jesus' name. Thank Him.